everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Blue Sedition Podcast. Mike was waiting for it. We're here. We're the first and only Blue Sedition Podcast.
Accurate.
I'm Nate Brady alongside...
I am Mike Smith, everybody.
Hey, how's welcome. It going? Welcome. Hey, Mike, how are you? How's it going today? Don't get...
I'm doing okay. You're doing all right.
You're doing just okay.
Yeah. How are you?
It's hard to say, you know.
Sure.
I think, you know, for me and probably all of our listeners, you know, mental health is really important right now. And it's
a struggle.
It's very difficult to wake up every morning, read the news, and then 3 minutes later when the news cycle changes, read it again and just it's hard, right?
It's a tough one.
It's tough. We have, speaking of news, we do cover some of those things. We have a bunch of things to talk about today, from raids on election offices to raids on ex-offices to Epstein files and Bill and Hillary and sounds like a lot, but let's go over it. What do you want to start with today, Mike? What are you feeling like? What are you feeling?
Oh man. I mean, yeah. We spent a lot yesterday going over the new released Epstein files. I feel like we should start off there.
Okay.
We've obviously covered them in the past. There's a new trove of files that was released for the public. And there's been some interesting, you know, revelations and names to come out of those Epstein files.
So another 3 million additional pages plus images and videos were produced under the Epstein Files Transparency Act, of course, which all of those videos and images and files should have been produced a lot sooner. But
yeah,
we've got another trove after the Department of Justice was allowed to go through for some reason and redact and remove. They've even deleted videos that they posted for whatever reason.
They're not sending their best. So yeah, they have at the very least accidentally posted, CSAM or alleged CSAM material.
Yeah.
By accident, because they weren't supposed to release it. They were just supposed to name those sorts of things and then not release. But they're the best, so they accidentally released that and had to remove it later. So that's good, spreading the word and all that.
I mean, they were really good at redacting Trump's face from a lot of the images, but for some reason, nude young girls, they were like, I don't know, let's just throw it all out there. That part's fine.
And I mean, I haven't seen any of the photo, like you said, photos of Trump's face being redacted, but his name comes up quite a bit in several of the documents. When you just search for Trump, you find some. There's actually a lot of names that come up, and you alluded to, you know, the Clintons, but also Bill Gates and Elon Musk and former Prince Andrew, you know, all sorts of who you would expect to show up in these things shows up in these things.
Yeah, so I guess let's talk a little bit about those people. Bill Gates is a fun one. Bill Gates looks like he got an STD from one of the women.
From
someone on Epstein's Island, and then was requesting antibiotics, which you should do that through your doctor, I guess. But I guess...
Oh, I was going to ask, is it just that insurance is too expensive even for Bill Gates that he can't get a doctor appointment? Is that the problem?
Yeah, that could be it. I don't know. I guess when you're running an operation like that, you have to offer some kind of CVS, internal CVS pharmacy. I don't know if Epstein's
Island
had its own. But yeah, so
I'm sure it had some form of pharmacy, but geez.
Yeah. So these were apparently Russian girls in two emails that Epstein wrote in 2013. It claimed that Bill Gates had extramarital sex with Russian girls and contracted a sexually transmitted infection and needed antibiotics. And the emails also claim that a Gates associated doctor helped him get drugs and facilitate illicit trysts with Russian women and married women.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
I'll also just point out to pepper this in, but Melinda Gates, his ex-wife, was on NPR today, and she confirmed that she ended the marriage between her and Bill Gates because of those allegations that were contained in the Epstein files would have come to light, you know, extramarital affairs and sexually transmitted diseases and things like that.
Yeah.
So at the very least, she's confirmed that those are real stories from that, you know, are in the Epstein files and maybe more.
So new allegations in the Epstein files also suggested more of a link between Trump and Epstein than we previously thought. Although I think a lot of us who don't buy child predator gear with their name and flags and stuff already knew this, but more times on Epstein's jet than previously thought. More allegations, more unsealed kind of court documents showing allegations from women against Trump that Trump liked to grab and measure genitals, which is
I don't think we should describe it, but
no.
That'll get us blocked on all of our stations very, very quickly.
Yeah, we have to be careful.
Let's just say that they're not good. You know, the way in which he acts is just kind of gross.
And the way in which he acts, though, aligns with what we've heard from him in, you know, you remember the grab him by the pussy.
Right.
You know, audio that leaked, and everyone's like, "Oh, that's just locker room talk." It wasn't locker room talk.
It was much
more than locker room.
Yeah.
Talk. Let's see. So
it's crazy to me. That they let some of this stuff get out. I mean, like, okay, I'm a cynic, so when I hear, oh, they released a bunch more Epstein files, my mind immediately thought, okay, they've released a bunch of stuff, like we've said in the past, about like Bill Clinton and, you know, the libs and all this stuff, and they would just keep Trump out of it. I just figured that would happen. But the fact that they're letting this kind of stuff get out there is either there's much worse stuff or this is it. And I'm not sure where I think we've landed.
Oh, no. So
you think that people will stomach this Trump stuff that's now come out through this latest release?
Oh, well, I think the tide is already, I think the tide is already turning. And I say this anecdotally, and I think I said this maybe a couple of months ago on the pod, that I knew some people who were kind of hardcore MAGA that were like, you know, if this Epstein stuff is starting to wear on me a little bit. And now I think the release of more and more information like this has people who are hardcore MAGA folks going, wait a minute. Because here's the thing. Here's the truth, right? Like, they were right. You gotta hand it to MAGA. They said that there was hear me out. MAGA, I'm gonna hand it to you. So everyone hold on to your seats here for a second, okay? They were right. There was an elite group of pedophiles that were
sexual predators at the very least.
Sexual predators that were not only doing everything they said,
but there was pizza
involved too, as code. You know, the listen, you guys.
We don't know if pizza was code or not.
No. This is true. That not just what we looked at the other day, we were kind of digging in on some of this, but there is actually a number of emails that reference pizza and food. Oh, that was some delicious pizza. Can't wait to have that pizza again. You don't say
pizza and grape soda, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah. You never in your life have I gone to anybody's house and they ordered pizza, and I send a follow-up email telling them how much I loved the pizza. Okay, unless their wife made it and I was trying to be polite. And
you'd say it at the door, you know, as you're leaving for the evening. You'd say, "Thanks for the invitation. The food was great. I loved the pizza." And then you head home. Or you don't go home and send an email when you get there.
Yeah. So
These are emails coming from people who have stayed at his residence on his island. So it's like, why are you sending an email saying thanks for the pizza instead of like, thanks for putting me up on your, you know, luxury island in the, you know, south, wherever, in, right. in the sun and beautiful. And you're like, thanks for the pizza, not thanks for letting me crash on your couch or whatever. It's weird.
So like I said, you know, limited, you got to hand it to them. They were right. They were wrong about who was going to get to the bottom of it, because the guy that they thought was going to do that was
at the bottom of it. Oh,
he was literally at the top, the middle, and the bottom of all of it. And a gross. Lot of them are starting to realize it. There was a funny SNL skit this past Saturday. If you had a chance to watch it, where a woman sits her family down. There's like her four kids are on the couch, and the dad is in the chair, and she says, I have to come out and say something, and I don't want to see any reaction out of any of you. And so she said, let's try it. She said a couple of things. People were reacting. I said, no reaction. And then she came out and she said, I'm starting to think that maybe Donald Trump isn't good for the country, and maybe he was involved in this Epstein thing. And it's a really good skit, but it reminds me of what actually is happening. These people, some of them are, to use the phrase they like to use, waking up, right?
Yeah.
And realizing like, oh shit. If this is what we're getting right now, and this is the Trump's DOJ kind of scrubbing right. through the files and holding back.
Right.
Holy shit, I can't imagine what's in there.
That's what I'm getting at here. You know, it's like the people who are innately very distrusting of the federal government from the get-go anyway are going to be saying the same things we are, which is like, there's no way that you have released everything and there's not more involving Trump. There's just no way.
There's no way, right? And
but then I have to ask the question, Nate.
Okay.
This stuff existed from before 2019, because that's obviously that's
ongoing
when
investigation.
That's when Epstein,
ongoing
investigation. Are you telling me that Biden's DOJ from 20 to 24 didn't have a lot or all of these documents?
No, I believe they did. I believe they did.
And they were just too cowardly to put them out there. Are there too many?
It's Clinton, a combination of things. I'm not going all in on the side of the liberals that are saying like, oh, they didn't release it because it was an active investigation. It was an active investigation, but we know that there were high profile Democrats very closely related to Biden, friendship with Biden, didn't want this information coming out. I mean,
your position is that the fix was in when Biden was in office. They could have done it. They could have tried to land everything on Trump, and they didn't because too many friends would take strays.
I mean, too many high profile people. We're talking about everybody's donors are in this. Everybody's in this. You know,
that's a good point. I guess if this comes out with Bill Gates, you know, and he's never donating to the Democrats again, if they're the ones to release it. Okay,
right.
Fine, plausible. So
was the fix in? I mean, come on, dude, this is just obvious. I don't. At this point, is it even a conspiracy? I mean, look at this. Look at the people in this thing. You got from nobodies like Brett Ratner, you know, actors and directors, all the way up to, you know, high profile president,
unfortunately, and past president and
ex-president,
billionaires and
princes.
We didn't even talk about Elon.
Elon literally begging to go to Epstein's island and make sure he doesn't, he's not looking for a quiet time. He was looking
for the party,
the biggest rager possible. And he's been crashing out on X the last couple of days. I no longer have an X account. I know you don't have an X account.
Yeah,
so I've only seen bits and pieces of it, but he has, I guess for the last 48, 72 hours, just been pointing the finger at so many other different people, at high profile celebrities and billionaires, and calling them out for their connection with Epstein. He's crashing it.
Do you remember when he was head of Doge, and then Trump, or maybe it wasn't Trump, maybe it was somebody in the cabinet, basically asked him to go. They were like, your job is done now. You can go back and do your thing. And he got pissy about it. And he tweeted, Trump's not going to release the Epstein files because he's in them. Mm-hmm. And then it was like up for a full weekend before he decided right. to delete it.
Of course.
Like Ben Fences. But imagine, what are you doing? If you, I guess if you're Elon, you probably assumed you were in the Epstein files. Why would you like start that fight? What an idiot.
I don't know. I mean, because Epstein is a man child, and because he was attacked and hurt, and he did the first thing that he thought would hurt more, and probably a little piece of him thought that Trump's in charge, the DOJ's in charge, they're not mm-hmm. releasing the Epstein files. You know, so he thought.
So, but if he thinks he's safe, why shoot that one across the bow? That just is going to sink both of you. Yeah, it's a weird bluff, is all I'm saying.
I'll tell you this, okay? And please don't take, and nobody take this the wrong way. The way I read the emails from Musk, okay?
Yeah.
It's impossible for us to know whether or not he knew there were underage girls there. You have to assume he did. Okay. But the way I read the emails was he likes to party. We've seen him in Germany, in other clubs. We've seen him going to these like raves. It seemed like he truly wanted to go for a party. Okay. And follow-up emails showed he never actually made it there. Like all of those trips that he had planned they all fell through. So.
And apparently all of his correspondence were in the years 2012 and 13. And that so was
still a man, so a man of his wealth and connection. I have to believe he knew what was going on over there, but in the files, and he probably knew this, there is never any mention of him, engaging. So there's probably no photos of him, there's probably no video of him, and it's probably and there's these two emails where he actually never made it to the island. So he probably wasn't afraid at that level, especially if he actually didn't do anything with any underage girls. So he knows there's no video of me, there's no photos of me, you know. That's not to say that he didn't have the intent to like the want to go and to be involved.
And, you know, everybody knew about Epstein basically from the time, I mean, trafficking girls, young girls and women, from about 2009, right? Because that's when he took that sweetheart deal to get out of hot water. So everybody in the know as of 2009 knows, okay, he's at the very least trafficking women illegally.
Right.
And taking them to his island and doing things with them. And probably anybody who's going to his island is doing the same thing. Now, I don't know if they'd alleged any, you know, underage girls at that point. But like you say, Elon's in the know at this point. He's like, if I want to have a good time, I can go to his island. And that's the place to have that good time with those girls.
Right.
Because he sent those emails in 2012, 2013. So it's plenty of time for people to be aware of it.
Right. Let's see. Some other high-profile names on there. Brett Ratner, we already talked about. There's a photo that's showing him with Epstein and two women on a couch. The photo is redacted, the women's faces. But looking at the photo, they appear to be pretty young,
which we will not be putting up on the pod.
No,
by the way.
they appear to be pretty young, and of course there's already Brett Ratner already has, you know, several women that have come forward with sexual harassment claims against him. So, you know, Richard Branson, Jay-Z, Harvey Weinstein, of course, obviously. The list goes on. Again,
no surprises for a lot of these names.
Right.
A lot of these names, you've heard this sort of allegation in the past. You sort of expected to hear them coming out of the Epstein files. I think that was one of the things that I know, at least I was, Nate, you probably were too, when the first round of docs were released of the Epstein files, we were like, there are no names in here, you know?
Right.
We thought we were going to get like the little black book, and they gave us like nothing almost. They gave like pictures of Epstein's empty closets with like exhibit A lit, you know, on the floor beneath them. You're like, this is not anything. What is this? But now you're like, aha, here are all the names. I'm seeing the names now and communications between the parties, and we're still digging.
There's another one, and I don't know how to say his name because I've only ever seen it written, especially in the last year or whatever, but Peter Attia, yeah, who is a CBS News contributor, and Barry Weiss wanted to bring him on as like, I forget the role, just in like the past week. And he's in the Epstein files over 1,700 times, crude personal emails from 2015 to 2018 that show kind of how friendly he was with Epstein, and that he kind of, you know, all of these jokes about women and anatomy and all this other stuff. He was clearly in on what Epstein was doing. And Barry Weiss refuses to... Because CBS was like, yeah, no, we're gonna pull this guy. We're not gonna allow him. And Barry Weiss was like, oh yeah, we are. No, I'm standing by this, which is just mind blowing to me. I mean, it's
part of the problem, right? Because like you were saying before, we are going to see certain people who follow the news, and this will be inescapable. Like there are people on the right who watch Fox News or Newsmax or OANN or whatever, but they also are online and they're getting a lot of people talking about this kind of thing. And even though Fox isn't going to air any of this stuff, you know, OANN's not going to air any of this stuff, they're going to see it and they're going to have the opportunity to go, well, wait, why isn't Fox talking about this? This is what we wanted for all these years. I wanted to see the Epstein files, and we want to put all these people in jail. Why aren't we doing anything? And you're going to lose, you know, some portion of the voters, of your voter base, to that sentiment, I would imagine.
And you know, why aren't we doing anything is a really good point. So this is the thing where, you know, Barry Weiss is like, no, why should I fire him? Why should I whatever?
Right. Why would we have accountability?
Right. And that's a really great point, because currently it seems like there is no accountability. Now we have congressional committees that are, as they are receiving these documents, are looking through them, breaking them down. Right now, the Republicans are in charge of all committees because they do control the House. So they're in charge of those congressional committees. But I think that there has been a shift in these committees. So I feel like as we alluded to earlier, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are going to testify. I feel like there may be some accountability coming here very shortly, but it needs to be more than let's just get the Democrats. Because I think, as you and I have said countless times in the past, I don't give a shit if it's a libertarian, a Democrat, an independent, a Republican. If you hurt children.
Yeah. We've had this conversation with like staunchly right-leaning folks that we interact with before, and we've said it to them. We're like, I don't care if they find Obama or Jill Stein in these things.
Right.
Whoever is doing it, they need to be held accountable. They need to be brought to justice.
Right.
And that like is the one place where you know, a MAGA person will look you in the eye and go, "You're damn right." And you're like, "Well, let's do that then." Because I don't see anybody going to jail yet. The only one who went to jail was Epstein. And I think somebody... tinfoil hat time.
Okay,
now, somebody... No?
Well, no, I have... I don't know. Wait, stand by a second. I have audio playing.
What?
For some reason, no, this is hilarious. For some reason, yeah, there's like light jazz playing. It's probably from a news article that I clicked on.
Yeah, you got some tab open.
So you were going into this thing. It was kind of
I was
of
ranting
funny.
And raving with some like some easy listening and going on in the background. That's
yeah,
great.
And I still can't find it.
Okay. All I was gonna say is that my tinfoil hat conspiracy theory is that Epstein didn't kill himself. I know that that probably makes me crazy, but there's clearly, if that's the case, let's just take it as a given, for the sake of argument, that's the case, right? Let's say that. Then that means that there's somebody who thought that all of this would go away when Epstein went away, and. Epstein comes up, he's like, why are we still talking about this dead guy? We should stop talking about this dead guy. And I'm like, well, you think that, but I don't think the people think that.
The Epstein didn't kill himself thing, it's really, I mean, when so, if there was ever a guy that didn't actually kill himself, and we've right. seen whistleblowers that said they weren't, you know, hey, just so you know, I'm not suicidal, and then those people die, tragic car accident, whatever. You know, yeah, we definitely wonder about a lot of those cases, but man, after you see all of the people involved and connected with Epstein, if there ever was a guy that didn't kill himself,
yeah.
I don't know.
I just think that the timeline's too messy now. Like, there's so much nonsense going on all the time that I can't not believe in. Maybe that's the reason that the MAGA folks are so conspiratorial, is because everything's crazy, and so all these conspiracies have to be true too. Maybe this is my arc now. I'm gonna start becoming a conspiracy theorist and put on tinfoil hat and start raving in the park.
I mean, oh. I do agree. If there ever was, though, I mean, but who knows?
Okay.
And that's beside the point anyway.
Beside the point.
Because now we have a list of all the names. We talked about this before. I think the dump was something like 14 terabytes or more. It's a huge number.
Huge.
That yeah, is
if you're not a computer person, it's gigantic.
If you're not a computer person, okay, that's not documents don't take up that much space. Okay.
No.
This is images and probably mostly videos.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, okay, that if the DOJ is putting images and videos in these drops, they are not right. ones that include Trump. And we've seen some videos now. We saw a video of Epstein chasing two girls around his kitchen.
Yeah,
island.
In the kitchen. Yeah.
You know, there's videos out there, and I forget which rep it was that is on the oversight committee. I just saw him yesterday say, we've been looking at some of the videos that are coming out, and they are truly disturbing.
Yeah, so they as a part of their job, basically have to look at the videos
right
as the firewall to the rest of us, so they know which ones can and cannot be released to the public, because obviously some of them are going to be maybe pornographic in nature or worse. The emails themselves that just discuss some of the things that have gone on, you know, on the island or in visitation with Epstein are pretty horrific in and of themselves. You know, there's some instances of torture, and I mean, not like bondage, but like torture is actually brought up, and it's all very gross, and so can't imagine anybody wanting that job to have to go through and identify what is and is not publicly viewable.
Yeah, so let me read the statement from Representative Robert Garcia, Democrat and ranking member of the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. He says, these new images are a disturbing look into the world of Jeffrey Epstein and his island. We are releasing these photos and videos to ensure public transparency in our investigation and to help piece together the full picture of Epstein's horrific crimes. We won't stop fighting until we deliver justice for the survivors. It's time for President Trump to release all the files now. What's really interesting in that statement is it's not even on President Trump to release all the files. He
right.
signed H.R. I think it's 4055 into law, which directs the DOJ to release all of the Epstein files. So it's no, so calling on President Trump to release all the files, he did the thing that he needed to do. But you know that behind the scenes, he is telling his DOJ, directing the DOJ what to do, right?
Right.
And so, I saw it. It was Robert Garcia. I saw him in a news interview where he was a little bit more like, I can't even believe some of the, I mean, can't stomach some of the things
right.
that we're seeing here. So, yeah, I guess it's probably time. Oh, wow.
So hold on. So we were talking about accountability, right? Because we want these people to be held accountable. We don't really care about the partisan or nonpartisan nature of it. It blue or red, hold them accountable. But that's on the federal side. That's on like the policing side of things, right? But there are other types of accountability. And I think, and Nate, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you were alluding to this earlier when we were talking about public opinion. And so just want to quickly point out that there was a special election held recently in Texas where some public opinion may have shown its ugly head.
It's shame on me because we were going over the show notes today and the news cycle is so crazy. And,
yeah.
And you know, you and I, we had a chance to talk about this already amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a very big election in Texas, a special election for both a congressional seat and a state Senate seat, in which the Democrats turned a ruby red district blue. And there's a couple of big points to be made about this. So I believe Trump won the district in 2024 by 17 points.
Yes.
The Democrat that won the district by 14 points.
Yes, Taylor Rennett.
Taylor Rennett, who won the state Senate seat, right? Won by 14 points. And
it's a 31 point swing.
And what's really notable about this is that when you look at the breakdown of voters, I believe the breakdown was 35% Democrat voted. So registered Democrat voted in that election. So,
right.
So think about this for a second. Okay. The Democrat won by 14 points. So 64-36, right? Or maybe whatever, you know, I didn't know if there was a third party or whatever, but they won by 14 points, which means that it was, even if every single Democrat that voted in that election, that wouldn't have been enough to get that person over the line. Independents right. and Republicans decided that it doesn't, the D and the R, it doesn't matter anymore. It's a rebuke right. of a Trump-backed candidate.
And yes, and it was very interesting to see. I'm searching in vain for the exact statistics on it, but it basically boiled down to, this is not the GOP not showing up for their candidate. They came out in the same numbers for their candidate largely as they did for Trump, but this is just completely losing the independent vote, like completely, because it's a 31 point swing that the Dems won by. So like the Dems and the reps voted the same, and most of the independents, and like you said, a non-zero margin of Republican voters as well, the independents swung that vote wildly because they are not pleased with the policies being enacted by the Trump administration right now. They see what's going on in Minnesota. They see what was going on in Los Angeles. They see what's going on in DC. And they're like, this is not what we thought we were going to be voting for. We don't want this. Change this.
This is Texas.
It's Texas in farmer country. Like it's absurd.
And it's important to note all 150 Texas House seats and a lot of the Texas Senate seats are on the ballot in 2026. So
right.
It could be, I don't like this blue wave stuff because, and I'm gonna explain part of the reason why, because the vote blue no matter who crowd drives me absolutely mad. Okay.
Yeah.
Because of you, when you look at Jeffries and you look at Schumer and you look at what we're doing to stop everything that this deranged president is doing right now, there is no pushback. They are the party that is just rolling over, and you might as well put an R next to Schumer and Jeffries' name. Okay. And you might as well put an R next to the AIPAC-backed candidates or the ones that aren't going to fight for the American people, but are going to fight for the donor class and the elite class. Okay. So then having a D next to their name means nothing. So when we say a blue wave, it's almost like, what's his name? You know his name because we just talked about him the other day. Pinkman, I think. When he says, "What kind of American are you?" In that.
Oh, not Pinkman. Yeah, but yeah. But from that. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like, what kind of American are you? Yeah. Right.
What kind of what I want to know is what kind of Democrat are you? Okay. Are you the Democrat that's going to get into Congress and going to get and go, "Oh, AIPAC is saying I'll never have to pay for another thing again in my life, that I'll retire in 4 years, in 2 years or 6 years from Congress or the Senate, and I'll be gold. Okay. So that's me now. That's the type of Democrat I am." Or are you going to be the Democrat that's like, "Yeah, I'm going to probably have to work for the rest of my life. You know, I'm going to have to take side gigs as a consultant. I'm going to have to do whatever, but I'm not giving in to the donor and elite.
I'm going to be Bernie Sanders and doing this damn job for 100 years.
For 100 years and yelling and screaming at the top of my lungs, but fighting for the working class." If we had, that's the kind of Dem I want to see. So, but I still think there's going to be a blue wave.
I do too, but I think it's going to be different. At least I hope it's going to be different. So I want to point out there are a couple of Dems that we would like other Dems to be like. Kat Abigail is the top of the list for me, I think.
Right.
She put out a flyer today showing, it says, "You decide the type of leader you want in Congress." And it's a graph showing where donations are coming from. And overwhelmingly, you know, at least, I don't know, 66% of hers are from small individual donations of under $200.
That's right.
Not surprising for a grassroots campaign. Right. And you look at all of her competitors in the field, and it's either large out-of-state donations or large in-state individual donations that are different. So, like, think about, like, your PACs or your fundraiser meals. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so you want the person with that orange in there.
Yeah, so Abby Ghazale, and this is important because this means when those people – when you go to the polls, you know, out-of-state donors can't vote. PACs can't vote. Personal right. fund, they can't. The personal funds means nothing, okay? This is Andrew and Wynn buying their own, you know, airtime, whatever. We're seeing now that targeted advertising. So the Texas Senate election is a good one. Right. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was something like 20 million to 3 million where the GOP outspent the Democratic candidate. OK. And Mike, hopefully in
the special election that just happened.
Yeah.
There's a House Senate. Seat. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, for the state Senate, not for the House.
Oh, for the state Senate. Oh, yeah. OK.
Which, by the way, the House seat was something that nobody's even talking about because we narrowed the GOP's margin to only 4. In the House,
yeah,
which is huge. You know, it's the closest. Oh. It's the closest.
Yeah, 218 to 214 now with three vacancies.
Right.
So it could possibly be 218, 217 when those vacancies fill, right? Because one of them just was by this special election, and you're going to have the same things. It's amazing to me because I don't know. I don't know how independents and the people who have voted Republican in the past get their news or like what better way to reach them. But it's pretty clear that the actions that are happening in the world around us right now, those are impacting people and swaying them to vote differently. And so I'm with you that the midterms could be an amazing uptick of blue seats. And it would be great. I don't want to call it a blue wave, but it could be that, you know.
I know. I don't like the phrase because I mean both sides overuse it now. Red wave, blue wave. Red wave sounds kind of gross. And does sort of give you an implication of like blood in the streets, which is perfect for what we're seeing right now. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm just calling it like it is. I will say Kat is doing it right. I think this is the right way. I think reaching out to individual donors is the right way. I think that the way that she runs her campaign, a lot of her campaign events are not there. Well, none of her campaign events are big plate dinners, $10,000 plate dinners right. with celebrities and whatever nonsense. What her campaign events are, okay, today we're doing a food drive. Okay.
And right.
It's getting into these communities where her voters, where her potential voters are, and having an impact on that community before she's even elected. And I think that is really what is driving both name recognition and these individual donations. You know,
it's rubber to the road politics. And you kind of love to see it in these grassroots waves where you're just like, I'm trying to get my name out there. Let's help the community while I'm doing that. It seems so simple and obvious.
So one of the things, and you know, Mike, I don't think we've shared it on this podcast yet, is that I plan on potentially, I can't make any announcements yet, but so this isn't an official announcement, okay? But I do plan on, if my district is still red and after the redistricting in California is done, if my district is still red, and depending on who the blue candidate is, if it is, you know, if it does go blue, I do plan on running for a congressional seat in 2028. I would do nothing different. Kat would be the playbook. Get out into the community, hold these kinds of events, do food drives, do book swaps, do meetups, do soup kitchens, do all of these things. Show the community that we're out here with them and for them, and not go behind their back and reach out to these high, large in-state individuals, these large out-of-state donations. First of all, what the hell is large out-of-state donations? Like, who the hell are you? You clearly aren't somebody that represents the district this person is from,
right? Yeah, you know? You're getting your donations from Bill Gates or something. Like, what why, what is it, how?
Very, very strange, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I will say the interesting thing about this graph is that because it's because of what seat it is, there's not a lot of PAC money with any of these individuals,
right?
But they are getting their money from.
Well, remember this is just a primary.
Yeah. Okay. This is a primary. It's not the show yet.
I guarantee you, I know who some of the PAC money is, though, because if it's one thing a certain PAC in the United States hates, it's progressives, and that would be
impact.
And they will spend a ton of money, not only in the Democratic primaries to defeat Democratic candidates in the primary to defeat progressive candidates, but then they will give money to Republicans to defeat progressive candidates, which is just insane. And APAC, as we pointed out in the past, they own just enough. They own like 6 to 10 senators at any given time on both sides of the aisle, to make sure that everything goes their way. So if you're always like, how is it that we're always one vote short for this? How is it that whenever the Democrats could actually, because two Republicans switched to this side, that suddenly one Democrat is the other, is on the other side? It's because APAC and these super PACs, they know who they need to buy to make sure that those margins are covered when they need to be covered. So that's why we need more people to blow those margins away.
We need people who aren't beholden to those big PAC donors. Like, we need people who actually represent the people that they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, so when Jeffries and Schumer are going to whip votes, they're not whipping from their corporate donors, they're whipping for the people. That's whipping for the people. I don't think that's a phrase that'll work as a campaign slogan. But anyway, let's move on to, because we're already 45 minutes in here, and
yeah,
we have so much to talk about. But I guess
can we do a fun one really quick? Can we do a fun one?
Is it about the French police?
No, it's one that I forgot to put in the show notes. So I'm just going to spring on you right now.
Okay, go ahead. Hit me with it. Hit me with it.
Nate?
Uh-oh.
Did Trump shit his pants?
Oh, Jesus. So listen, for some reason, this didn't get a lot of play. But there's a video that's circulating. Do we want to play it? Do you have a link to it?
I don't have the video. Or maybe okay. I do. I'm adding it right now.
Okay. Let me see here.
The video's there. You gotta play it. So this is from Snopes. I'll just preface this. I can't. Is this real? I can't. I don't know. And Snopes, their official statement here is that while the video was authentic and showed no signs of digital manipulation or content generated by artificial intelligence, there was no evidence to support the claim that Trump pooped himself during the meeting. Okay. There's no way for Snopes to independently verify the rumor, so we have to left this claim unrated.
I appreciate it. Thank you, please. Thank you.
Mr. President, can you respond to the new Fox poll that says people think ICE's tactics are too aggressive?
This appears, I thought, a little bit earlier. But you can see the lady in green.
I appreciate it. Thank you, please. Thank you.
Mr. President, can you respond to the new Fox poll that says...
So listen, after it happened, though, there is an audible sound, okay, that appears close to Trump's microphone, okay, where it sounds like there was a pants event, okay? And when the sound happened, the lady in green, like, did like a, what was that? Okay, and then her face completely changed. Now, if you look at RFK, you see how the side of his face is kind of like falling off and look like it's melting? That's how he always looks. So we can't use RFK as a, and I also think RFK likes the smell of other people's farts. That's just from what I know about him. But so the lady in green, not only does she make that, like, she makes a face when the audible noise happens, and then she's just doing like the nose rubbing, yeah, which she doesn't do in any of the rest of the video.
Well, in her face, like, she's smiling, that fake smile, and she's like, like, what?
So did Trump poop his pants during this executive order? And then I don't know. I think it's Levitt is rushing people out of the room. Like, okay, that's enough. Get out. Everybody get out. And then allegedly he had his diaper changed. I don't know.
Here's the thing. I say every week on the podcast, we live in a post-truth society. So okay. I'm just going to choose to believe he shit his pants.
Okay. I was going to say, I thought you were going to say you've also shit your pants. But I mean, so
we've been pointing fingers here, all right?
a lot of presidents, if you take a look at some of these presidents we've had, I think it's pretty clear some of these presidents have shit their pants. So that shouldn't be an indictment. Okay. Incontinence. It's an issue. A lot of Americans have this issue.
It's the elderly face it, and it's, and the young alike, but you know, maybe we shouldn't have, you know, 80 year olds running the country anymore. Maybe a little younger. Maybe. I don't know. That's my, anyway, that was the fun one. Leave a comment. Leave a comment. Let us know if you think he shit his pants.
All right, I'm gonna can I keep it on the fun theme though?
Go on the fun theme.
I wanna continue on the fun theme. Just a little bit before we started today's episode and we were putting the show notes together, we got a fun little piece of information that the French police have raided the ex offices in France, and so they're French prosecutors. The raid was part of a criminal investigation led by the Paris prosecutor's cybercrime unit that alleges that X is misusing their algorithm, including claims of bias or manipulative recommendation systems and unlawful data extraction. So I will tell you, if you were still on X shortly after Elon took over, I only followed Democrats. I only followed sports. I followed chess. I followed a lot of things. And then suddenly it was Tim Pool, Charlie Kirk, you know, obviously Elon a billion times.
Elon all the time. I had blocked Elon and I would still occasionally see his posts. I'm like, this thing is out of control.
So another important thing is the investigation is also targeting illegal content linked to Grok. And so, first of all, we know that Musk has tried to jam into their system prompts, into Grok system prompts, such that if you typed anything, suddenly we were hearing about white genocide in Africa when you're like, what's today's weather in Boston? You know, it was like, well, forget about the weather. Have you heard? You're like, what?
We've covered Grok on the pod before.
But one of the important things that this investigation is covering is that the Grok is doing this AI generated sexually explicit deepfakes, especially of women and in some reports minors. So dissemination of child sexual abuse material, failures in child protection, posts involving Holocaust denial, which is a criminal offense in France, by the way. So these are huge issues. So Elon Musk has formally been summoned to appear in Paris for questioning in April alongside former ex-CEO Linda Yaccarino. That's for voluntary interviews. But I guarantee you, the French don't mess around with this shit. And the EU in general doesn't mess around with data. They're very strict on data and privacy protections. They're very strict on child sexual abuse policies, especially as it pertains to the internet. There will be major fines that come out of this, whether or not Elon goes. But I think it's clear that there's going to be huge fines coming for X, who already operates in the red, as far as I understand, because they can't get enough advertising, et cetera. Elon Musk, go ahead.
I was going to say it's really interesting from a legal perspective. I follow a lot of like legal things, and one of the things that I find interesting, you know, we're in tech, we build, you know, web apps and things for other companies and stuff. Section 230 protects a platform like X from content that its users produce and display on that website. So that, for instance, if you're a user on X and you post CSAM on X, X can't be sued or found criminally liable as providing that. That's on the user, and there are the takedown requests and like there's processes in place. But that's an American law that applies to American or companies operating in America. And you do not get those same sorts of immunities in other countries, such as France or Germany or any of these things. So if you are, and the second part of that is the users aren't generating this. It's Grok. It's actually the X platform itself generating these illegal in other countries content.
Right.
And so like, you're not going to get fined, man. People are going to get arrested if you're not careful.
Right.
Well, and they'd be well within their rights to say like, okay, X cannot be distributed in the EU then. Like they could just outright ban it.
Right.
Because it's not following their laws.
And you know, we already know X is going the way of Truth Social. I mean, it's a dumpster fire over there. You know, we've all closed our accounts. We encourage other people to. Unfortunately, I know Aaron Rupar, people like that, you know, a lot of their income comes from that. But at some point,
sure.
You know, at some point, well, aren't you just saying if a congressman goes to Congress and says, well, a lot of my income is coming from a super PAC, where do you draw the line? You know, I'm sorry, but if you're still supporting this site and you're supporting this man and you're driving users to your X account.
Right.
I don't know what to say. You know, I understand small authors, whatever, but are you doing everything you can to drive people away from X and get them onto either another platform, find you in another way, whatever?
I think in the case of Aaron Rupar, he definitely is. He's on Blueski. He's posting on Threads and Facebook. And, you know, a lot of those guys will use, like, what are they called? Well, the technology that lets you, like, post once and it gets deployed to the platforms. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So a lot of those small-time guys are doing that, and there is a platform on X that they need to work for because they got to get those dollars. So I hear you. On the one hand, like, you should be avoiding X at all possible.
Right.
But there will be people who will be on X just because, like you said, they like sports. They like, you know, F1 racing or whatever, and they have somehow avoided politics.
Right.
And so they're just like, well, it's a good place to learn about cars or whatever. And Aaron Rupar can reach them there. I don't know.
Listen, we had so much more stuff that we needed to talk about today, but we like to keep it at an hour for these. We'll have to come back, maybe do a second show this week or do another, you know, make sure we're back at the beginning of next week where all of our stories will be irrelevant anyway. a whole bunch of new stuff that we have to talk about. One of the things we didn't cover today was what's going on in Minnesota. And I think that's just a good place to kind of end today's episode. Is obviously, if you're listening to this show, a weekly progressive podcast, Mike and I obviously stand with the people of Minnesota. I saw a post earlier that I don't know if it is true or not. I could look it up right now. I don't know. The people, Minneapolis, and the people of Minneapolis have been nominated for the 2026 Nobel Peace Prize, which is the first time something like that has ever happened. I don't even know how that would work. I think that's a slap in the face to Donald Trump, which would be incredible. We, both Mike and I, believe that Alex Peretti and Renee Nicole Good were murdered by federal agents. All the evidence that we see, truly disturbing. And we believe all of the agents involved should be, investigated and prosecuted, and all of the, leaders of DHS, ICE, et cetera, should be answering, to a House committee. They should also be investigated. And if liable, should be charged as well. And hopefully civil suits come out of this. Hopefully these people are held accountable in some way for their actions.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously Renee Good and
Alex Peretti.
Like Alex Peretti, you know, were both, in my estimation, murdered in the streets. And so I don't see how we can have a society if we aren't willing to hold the murderers accountable, because laws either matter or they don't.
And
they either matter for everyone or they don't matter at all.
And I'm tired of the gaslighting. I mean, we saw DHS come out right away and say, you know, this person was a domestic terrorist, this person was this, without any investigation, without allowing, you know, state and local police to come in and secure the crime scenes. Pretty disturbing stuff coming out of this administration.
And so, it's all being recorded. And it's all being put online. And I think we've talked about it. I think we definitely talked about Renee Good. I don't know if we talked about Alex Peretti on the pod yet, but we have lots of video angles, lots of different recordings, and they all corroborate the same story, and you can see it with your own eyes. I don't advocate watching these videos. They're horrific, but
at this point,
I have, because I can't help myself, and I can see with my eyes that this man was basically assassinated in the street and posing no threat. And the right immediately went out and said he had a gun on him and he was going to be a terrorist and all this other stuff that's clearly visibly not true.
Yeah.
So I think you said it. Yeah, well, we stand with the people of Minnesota. We stand with all Americans against this sort of authoritarianism and tyranny.
I do not think that ICE should exist, especially in its current configuration. I don't think that DHS needed to exist. I think that we should go back to pre-9/11 INS type thing. But even then, and I sorry for the Obama lovers out there, Obama had a lot to do with massive detention centers, with family separation. We can't ignore this fact. If we want things to change in the United States, we can't just say, yay, we have a new Democratic president, and then things magically get better. We have to fight against these mass detention centers. We have to fight against these for-profit prisons as well. And that's the only way things are going to change. So don't just think that voting for somebody with a D and that D winning is going to change, because the reason why we are here where we are right now is because we voted for Biden and we said, thank God. And what happened? Not 4 years later. Okay.
Not enough.
Biden didn't do enough. The Biden administration, whether they could or not, I don't know. Okay. I truly don't know what you could do to stop what happened, but certainly we could have done a lot more, and we need to.
We're going super long now, but I have to say as well, like we were saying earlier, the current incumbent Democrats who are continuing even today funding the government and giving ICE more money, Democrats voting for this is part of the problem. We need to get as many of these carpetbaggers, for lack of a better word, out. And we need real Democrats in who will stop and actually change what's happening.
Body cams are not going to stop ICE from doing.
Like I said, it's just more camera angles. We have them already. Their mom has a camera
Renee Nicole Good's killer had a body cam and a cell phone. We got to see all of that video. Has that changed anything? No. I don't want better trained faceless murderers in the street.
No,
I
don't want fix that.
You can't. So guys,
you can't reform it.
Definitely keep recording yourselves. Keep out there, keep fighting, keep pulling your cameras out. It is our right, it is our constitutional right to do so. We're gonna continue to do so. And we need to press every single person in Congress to hold these people accountable. We do have the names now of the two agents that murdered Alex Peretti. Jesus Ochoa was one of the names, and it might strike people as like, I'm sorry, what's that name again?
Yeah.
You know? And it's not something that I would say because I'm a white male, but I see a lot of Spanish speaking Americans going, that's a race traitor. That is a traitor to his people. And you know, it's hard for me to argue with that. I mean, that's somebody who clearly wouldn't be here unless his parents immigrated here, or his grandparents, or whoever, you know. And you're murdering, you're going after people who aren't even violent criminals, you know, which was ICE's stated goal to begin with, where we're ripping people out of the streets. The video that always strikes me is it's really more audio that always I get choked up when I hear it. I'll be scrolling through Instagram, and it's that I believe it was in Minneapolis, where you hear a bunch of whistles blowing, and it's like snow on the ground, and you hear they're here, stay inside, lock your doors.
Right,
dude. This is America. What?
Nate, I hate to do this to you.
Okay. Okay.
Breaking news.
Oh, boy. Okay. Guys,
We're going long today. Rep Ted Lieu.
Okay.
Just held a presser.
Okay.
Saying that the Epstein files have allegations of Trump raping and threatening to kill children.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Ted Lieu went on. He's at a podium, and he said
lectern. Lectern. We don't want to get.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So.
All right. Let me see.
We have to dig into it. It's live, but I think, you know, that's crazy. The news cycles just won't stop, guys.
And February 3rd, 2026, Lieu said Republicans are focusing on Clinton's to distract the fact that Donald Trump is in thousands of files. He further asserted the files contain allegations of Trump raping children and threatening to kill children, and criticized law enforcement officials for not investigating Trump and others named. If there's ever been a time to impeach and remove a man from the highest office in the land, Jesus Christ, it's now. Like, it's right now.
Well, and I got to say, I, again, we're going long, and I have to politic this. Rep. Ted Lieu is talking about one of the most litigious men in the United States history. Right. He sues everybody for everything, for anything.
He literally just said he was going to sue Trevor Noah for a joke that he made at the Grammys on Sunday, right?
But Rep. Lieu is stating this, knowing full well that if he doesn't have evidence to back up that claim, he's committing slander, and he's doing it from position. So what does he have that we don't know about? Like, what documents? What are we doing here, Ted? Are you going to start leaking some stuff? Because we got to know some stuff.
Okay, let's keep an eye on this. I mean, we will certainly all day long.
We certainly will.
Let me see here. Okay, we got this. We got this pinned.
All right.
Okay. I think we have to wrap it here.
We
stay long enough, and we're already into the next news cycle, so we'll have five new stories that we have to talk about.
Right.
And it certainly, again, speaks to we're probably going to have to be doing live shows every once in a while. And we'll get together and we'll figure out when to do that. But for now, that's all we can do today. If you are interested in supporting us, we're not asking for any money, just a simple like, subscribe, and maybe share on social media. That's the best way to help us. It's the best way to get these stories and our voices out to other people, and hopefully to change the hearts and minds, and not just of progressives, but we need to, just as much as all of this terrible news is in our face every day, we got to get back out there and say what we need to do to hold these people accountable. And hopefully Ted Lieu and Rep. Garcia, et cetera, are going to go fight that fight for us, until, maybe we have to do it ourselves. So until next week, I'm Nate Brady.
I'm Mike Smith.
See you next time.